here's the theme song for the Jimmy Doan Show. Oh, my God. We're back again.
You know what time it is, boys and girls.
That's right. Get ready for that fat burner.
Woo-hoo.
That's right. Put it on your CD or your MP3 and... you can start to work out. Jimmy Doan here once again from the Jimmy Doan Show at jimmydoan.com. And we got several things to talk about today. This is, what, October 6th? Thursday, October 6th, and 2005.
Yes,
it is. And we have here with us today Curtis.
Hey, how you doing?
Good to see you. And as usual, our erstwhile engineer, Eric.
Firmly rooted.
That's right. Ooh, don't. Now, this is a family show. You start talking about firmly rooted here, we're going to have a problem. No, this is great. We've got a lot of things to talk about today. We want to talk a little bit about the new Supreme Court nominee. What's her name?
Harriet Myers.
Also, a small update maybe on New Orleans, what they're doing down there. And, of course, with Harriet Myers' assisted suicide.
Yeah.
That's coming up. That big argued yesterday, big time. And the Bush speech this morning. Maybe a few notes on that.
Heard that.
And the Iraq Constitution. Notes on that. So stay tuned, as we say. Of course, nobody's tuning, are they? You must listen to us. This is the broadcast you want to listen to. That's right. This is we are using a Jedi mind trick on you to make sure you listen. This is great. Jimmy Doan here once again. Yeah, Jimmy Doan. Ooh, that's right. Have you got some new sound effects for us today, dude?
Yeah, I'll roll them out as well.
Oh, my God, that's scary. So anyway, let's get started here. This is great stuff. The Harriet Myers.
Well, who are we going to thank today?
Oh, that's right. We do want to thank our listener, whoever he or she might be. No. No. Well, we the way I look at it is this is probably on a podcast, so we have a listener, and it's you. It is you, dear listener, on the treadmill or on the thing called the
Stairmaster,
right? Or in your car, and you are the one we want to thank. No, we have listeners from literally from around the world now. Mm-hmm. So we want to thank all of the people from Japan, Australia, and
Finland.
Yes, we have a couple from Finland. I said last time I thanked the guys from Sweden or girls, whoever they are. Ja talar lite svenska, mina vänner. But I do realize that most of the people in Finland speak Swedish. Finlanders respond for no. No, Finland is responsible for Nokia and Nokia phones. No, when you think about it, Finland is only like 6 or 7 million people. I mean, it's when you think about the power of some of the smaller, you know, Scotland is like 3 or 4 million or 10 million or whatever. And Adam Smith and all those people came from
Finland.
Scotland
is a powerhouse in downhill.
Powerhouse in you know, Nokia.
Downhill skiing.
And Ericsson isn't Ericsson Swedish, so that's right across the little river, whatever that bay is that goes up in there. So anyway, that's where we get all our cell phones except for Motorola. Okay, fine. So hello Finland. Tack för det. In Swedish. Okay. Hope if you live on the west coast of Finland, you speak Swedish. Moving on. Moving right along. Yes, the here in the United States, the new Supreme Court nominee, Myers.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, talk about a stealth. I think we mentioned this in the last broadcast. I keep calling these broadcasts because they're not. They're
don't
very
worry
narrow.
About it.
I'm not worried about it. The point is that talk about a stealth person, and it's interesting to see the people who are coming out of the woodwork to oppose this.
I'm one of them.
Are you?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are saying that it's scary because it's a stealth candidate like Souter, who was put up by the first Bush guy and turned out to be, you know, a near communist.
It's worse than that, I think.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I told you before, you know, you of all people, you, Mr. Prosecutor,
me?
No, I mean, Mr. Public Defender, yes, Judge.
Oh,
edit that out. No.
Yeah.
No, well, let me put it this way. Look, how many? There's got to be out of the 10,000 judges. Nobody knows who we're speaking about. And I didn't even mention her sex. Shut up. Okay, no. Talk about somebody there.
All right, let's define. I'm a little in the dark here. What's this?
Let's not talk about anybody we know.
Okay.
You chicken. You big chicken.
We're talking about the Supreme Court nominee.
I know, but we're talking about somebody who may possibly make rulings based on not the law.
Anything.
On anything.
It could be anything.
And this is scary.
She could be the craziest judge. She could be the Earl Warren of the 2000.
And she makes a B2 look like a piece of tinfoil.
What?
The B2, the stealth bomber, makes look like a piece of chaff. You know, like
right.
Super reflective radar stuff they used to try to jam radar with. You know?
Right.
It's like that. She's that stealthy.
Well, But not only that. I mean, speaking of tinfoil, I mean, maybe she wears that for a hat to keep the aliens from infecting her brain.
So why do you feel this way?
She's okay. We don't know too much about her except that she doesn't really have any career qualifications for being a Supreme Court justice.
Of course, that's, as you well know, that doesn't matter.
There's no technical qualifications.
It turns out you can be anything.
Anything? Don't have to be a lawyer. Don't have to be anything.
I don't even think you have to be a United States citizen.
No, you don't. You can be whatever you want. And I'm not deriding Bush for that type of a choice. What I'm saying here is, boy, it's suspicious.
Yeah.
Boy, can you think of anybody who could be more suspicious than Bush nominating his personal lawyer to be on this group?
You suppose he got any?
Gemma, I'd like to nominate my daughter Gemma.
That's right.
For this position. I mean, this woman, she by all accounts, her career goals is to stick with George Bush.
Well, as somebody said, he really cast around, looked at all of the applicable candidates within 20 feet.
Exactly. I mean, what is the likelihood?
He looked all around the Oval Office to see who he could find.
Search.
Sweeping search of the Oval Office. Oh, you're it.
When they said sweeping search, they didn't mean while he was sweeping.
No.
They meant.
And of course, he is looking for a woman, so that narrowed it down even.
That's right.
Even more.
He probably couldn't do his wife.
Right.
You know.
He probably crossed. Her off the list.
Probably was on the top.
She was top five.
That's right.
Because I
on the short list.
What are the chances that your personal lawyer is also the person
who is the most qualified?
The most qualified
on the planet
for the United States Supreme Court. Just no way. This is a political move. It should be seen as that. All the senators should call him out as this being politicizing the court. He's trying to get his girl on there.
Right.
And that right there is suspicious enough. Judges are supposed to avoid the appearance of impropriety. This appears to be improprietous or whatever.
That's right. Well, it's as close as you're going to get. And a lot of people. It's interesting because a lot of the people that the usual suspects. The two things that occur. One is when Harry Reid comes out and says, "Ooh, I kind of like her." You, right away, you say, "Well, all the bells and whistles." You know, you are. This is dive, but you dive.
Harry Reid is the
Minority leader of the Senate. If the Democrats owned the Senate, he would be the majority. He would be the majority leader. He would be the Tom DeLay. No, Tom.
He's Democrat.
Yeah, he's Democrat. Right. So he is the minority leader in the Senate. He's the most powerful Democrat, and when he comes out, he is a clone of Jim Wright. I mean, he is a guy. You talk about partisan. Here is a guy that let me put it this way: if George Bush had nominated Harry Reid, Harry Reid would have objected. I mean, that's he would object to anything that George Bush says. I mean, he is so filled with the detesting or whatever you want to call it that is, you know, Chuck Schumer the same way. Chuck Schumer is the same. If he had nominated Chuck Schumer would say, "No, I object." Oh, wait a minute, that's me. That's okay.
This is like a personal. Bush likes her on a personal level.
Well,
she's born again Christian.
But then, of course, that's a little scary because one of the things that they're going to ask, of course, they can't ask, "Oh, by the way, if you had been on the court when Roe v. Wade was, you know, how would you have?"
Well, they can ask.
They can ask. But if
she's
she,
not good.
Even if she remotely answers it, she's dead.
But she doesn't strike me as the caliber of intelligence that John Roberts just went under.
No, that's true.
She may go ahead and.
Well, it is interesting to see the broad spectrum of people that call this cronyism at its worst.
That's what it smacks of.
Smacks. It is. I mean, it's not only, you know, this is not an appearance of. This is not a virtual. This is exactly that.
And this is an important issue. I mean, this
you
is.
You think? One of nine people. We're talking swing vote here. We're talking swing. You know, Sandra Day O'Connor, for all you want to say about her, you know, she was all over the map. And here we've got somebody who she was somebody that you literally from one case to the next you had no clue, and even as she was leaving, I mean, some of the rulings that she came out with were good, but I was blown away by it. I said, well, you know, this, she does not delve on her own precedents. Forget the Supreme Court precedents. She didn't delve on her own.
She was a unique perspective. She is one of my more favorite justices, though, I'll say.
Really?
Yeah, Sandra Day had made some incredible calls, and I'll agree.
Jimmy is sitting here with his mouth open.
I know, it's hard to believe.
No, Jimmy is deer in headlights, mouth open, wondering, what, are you serious?
Yeah, I am. She showed some insight that's rare.
She did, but she also showed some dumb insight, I think.
I agree.
The thing is, you would like to think there's some consistency. Interesting, because I think it was...
No. Not with her, yeah.
No, that's right. That's the problem. You didn't know from one time. So... with this person, of course, the thing is, we already know she has made a dramatic change in her life from being a liberal contributing to Mondale, Carter campaigns, and then suddenly...
She contributed to Gore.
Yes, she did. And, of course, when Gore ran in... Was that 2000? No, couldn't have been.
I tell you...
Must have been 1996.
At best, you're going
to
get...
Ironically, she had donated $1,000 to Gore a dozen years earlier when he first sought the White House.
Okay, right. That was not the 2000 campaign, but the 92 campaign, probably. Okay. But the point is, I think, that you're bringing up here, well, at least that I'm bringing up, is that she has done a complete life-changing about-face recently in galactic terms.
Right.
And she may stay that way. But if you think for 2 seconds...
Or not.
But if you think this is not going to affect her rulings, you're crazy. I mean, we all are, you know, it's nurture versus nature, all that kind of thing. But as far as the Supreme Court is concerned, it's mostly nurture. And if you bring with you to anything your past, your beliefs and experiences, and you may very well find a way to weave those into, as we have seen, to weave those into Supreme Court rulings. And we see this, of course, with Breyer, who wants to go to Namibia to find out what they think about our Constitution. And have you lost your mind? I mean, you know, what? Who cares what the French or the Zambininis think about what this thing is?
Wherever there's a good idea. But your point is well taken in that if she's all over the map, that won't be a surprise at all.
Yeah.
If she's hard line, strict in some way, that won't be a surprise. There won't be any surprise because nobody knows where she's going.
Right.
So what would you guys...
Write
your congressman.
And
You write your senator.
Your senator.
Only the senators. There's 100 people, and you only have to get 51 of them to say no. And you already got, ostensibly, have about 40 of them right off the bat. So you have to get 11 more to say no.
I mean, if the Democrats allow this, they're dropping the ball. If the Republicans allow it, they're complicit in politicizing the court.
They are, and they're whistling in the dark, too. I mean, they, you know, again, be careful what you wish for.
Oh, yeah, there's no way. You don't know. This woman, like we say, she could come out. It's like Rush Limbaugh said when asked, Dick Cheney told him, hey, in 10 years, you'll know this was the right decision. Rush says, well, why do we have to wait 10 years?
Yeah, exactly. No, that is exactly true. And that... And, you know, a lot of damage can be done in 10 years. That's for sure.
And she stays.
And that's right. Well, of course, given what we know, she's 60. Given what we know, you know, she could be there easily 20 years. Easily. And, of course, with age of spiritual machine, she could be there until she's 150.
Or infinitely.
That's right. As she evolves into a cybernetic, sand-based, silicon-based machine.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you I don't know if we want to get into the questions yet we want to ask, that they want to ask her. Or we're going to do that.
Well, they're going to. One of the things that of course they would dearly love. This is so crazy. Is they would like to come up with, and Leahy did this and so forth. And they come up with hypotheticals all the time. If this, if that, if the other. And of course, there's no way they're going to answer that. I mean, why? You know, obviously. Let me put it this way: the questioning on the Judicial Committee is going to be more grandstanding to keep themselves elected. It has no bearing one way or the other on what she's going to say. She can't say anything.
I would say that the importance of the question is inversely proportional to its length.
That is exactly true. That is exactly true.
What I would ask...
When you have a 15-minute question, you know, and the answer should be...
No or yes.
Or no comment.
Right, exactly.
I can't comment on that. Yeah. End of story. And so there's no question about that. The thing that is interesting.
What are you going to ask her? If you had a senior citizen, a child, and a fetus, which one would you shoot if you had to shoot one?
Which one would you kill?
You've got Jesus, the Virgin Mary, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, one of them's going to go down.
Which one will it be? That's right. Yeah, the old, it's the King Solomon thing. I mean, you know, we bring the baby up, and she's the one to say, yeah, let's cut it in half.
Cut it. Go.
Hell yes, cut it in half. And one woman stands up and says, okay, go ahead and give it to her. And the other one says, yeah, cut it in half. And she says, yeah, cut it in half. Yeah, I mean, this is.
What they ought to ask is a theoretical question about their basis of constitutional theory that is a legitimate source of constitutional law. That is, what are the legitimate sources of constitutional law? Or they could be more specific and say, for example, explain natural law or explain the Ninth Amendment. And
yeah, I always liked, what do you think of the Ninth Amendment?
By the way, tell me about the Ninth Amendment and use examples. And then she might fall into that. And if she was smart, what she'd say is, well, this is the Ninth Amendment and the court has ruled this way and that way, which is what Roberts would do. But she may say, and it could be used for this or that.
Ooh,
or something else.
That's right. That's it. Boom. We end the story. Sorry, F on that one. And you flunk, you're out.
That's what they should ask her, something like that. What's the Tenth Amendment?
Well, the thing that, and we can segue into this if we're done with this particular aspect of it, and that is you do know that the rulings that they come up with are based on who is actually on the court at the time. Now, they just argued yesterday the assisted suicide. This is the law that is trying to federalize or overturn the Oregon voters said, look, it's okay to have assisted suicide. And they've had, since the law was passed a dozen years ago or whatever, however long it's been, I think 200 assisted suicides documented, 200 or 300.
You know what I say?
I see. Slow that heart down.
Yeah, this is an Oregon law which is met with success in Oregon.
Well, and the success.
Well, from their perspective,
right?
And the federal government is challenging it.
That's right, and they're challenging on the basis that the doctors are come under federal rules as far as terminating life,
because of the FDA.
Because of the FDA, right? Because of the FDA. That is to say, since they're prescribing a controlled substance,
right?
That they can take their license away.
So the feds are trying to use drug laws,
right,
to control health laws,
right?
Or
non-health laws. Death being a non-health issue.
As far as I'm concerned, it's a state issue, and they should allow the state to do it. But
they
should. Not going to.
Well, we don't know, because let me tell you again. This brings up the point. The people that get to rule on that are the ones that are sitting on the Supreme Court at the time of the ruling. That is to say, if she is confirmed, typically, as you know, let me back up just for a second. Typically, as you know, they hear cases for 3 or 4 or 5 months, and then they come out, they give them all out in April and May. So here's the court that's been heard yesterday. They go back now and start to write their briefs or whatever they're going to do, but they're not going to announce the result until next March or April, when Myers will be on the court. And the gal who heard it, gal like that, Sandra Day, won't be. So the question one must ask is, if there's a swing vote, is it going to be Harriet?
And it's going to be close. My bet is it's going to be 6-3. Sandra Day will be in the dissent.
Well, no, she won't be able to rule on it.
I know, and they'll ask for, right, but they won't need to ask for a rehearing because they will have already won. I think that
well, it won't make any difference because it you can say rehearing all you want, but the way it is, basically, as I understand it, let's say, for instance, as an extreme example, that the Supreme Court comes under terrorist nuclear attack tomorrow, and they have to reappoint all 9 justices. They can still rule on what was said yesterday.
Yes, but whoever it is that loses has a right to request a rehearing, and they certainly would. And in most instances,
they could tell them to go jump in the lake.
Well, though, they could, but the Supreme Court's relatively fair, and they understand these types of issues. They understand that if it is a swing vote, if it would make a difference.
In other words, if it's 5-4 and she is on, if it's 5-4,
right,
they're going to ask for a rehearing.
If Sandra Day is on the winning side, and it's...
Well, no, but Sandra Day... No, you don't understand. Here's my point. She won't be there. She will not be there. when the ruling is issued.
Right, right. Well, that's
so my point is
her vote is on the winning side.
Her vote, she won't have a vote.
If Harriet Meyer's vote is on the winning side.
What if it's on the losing side? They're going to ask for rehearing anyway. If it's 5-4, they could call anybody a swing vote.
Well, that's true.
I see your point. What you're saying is that 8 of them have heard it, and 5 of the 8 voted one way, so there wouldn't they would say there's no reason for a rehearing.
Exactly.
No, you're right. Okay, yes. So that makes sense. If it's 5-4, and she's on the winning side, automatically rehearing.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense. But if it, like you say, if it's 6-3, no rehearing needed or whatever. That's right. I guess in the second bite of the apple or whatever. Well, anyway, but there's going to be, the other thing is, when you think about it, they argue cases, what, every Wednesday or something like that? Verbal arguments are every Wednesday and Thursday or something from now until March or something. I mean, they're going to hear, what, 100, 200 cases?
I think it's about 150 or something.
About 150 cases. So between now and Thanksgiving, when George Bush has said he hopes that Harriet will be confirmed, they could hear 20 or 30 cases.
They're going to hear that porn stars case?
Ooh, which one is that?
The one that we talked about last show where the porn star, she got arrested.
Oh, right. Yes, that was that.
Well, you weren't here at Council Curtis, but we have a new client for you. We wanted you to
bring her in.
Bring her in.
We wanted to bring her in and interview her here in person.
She's in jail right
now. She's in jail, but if we could get, maybe we could bail her out.
Right.
And because she was protesting the Kelo thing, what she did is, the Kelo actually is still, they haven't actually done it yet. It reminds me a little bit of Andrew Jackson when the Supreme Court ruled that the Indians in Georgia were entitled to do something, and Andy Jackson sent the troops down there in spite of it, said, you know, where are your troops, Supreme Court? And he and he went down there and moved. That was the beginning of the Trail of Tears,
right,
which was 100% against what the Supreme Court said to do. And he said, you know, where are your troops? You sent
them. So they haven't acted on the
So field. They haven't. Well, they've tried to, of course. And what she did is she went and rented a place in one of the buildings and then went down to argue in front of the city council or whatever. And they wouldn't let her in to the city council meeting. They said it was full when it wasn't. And she resisted arrest. They arrested her for felony inciting a riot or something. And they arrested her on some kind of felony. She's in jail as we speak now for probably 3-4 weeks.
What's the tie-in that she's a porn star? Is there any?
No, there's no tie-in.
Okay.
There is no. She happens to be a porn star, okay. And we like that. I mean, we
we wanted to bring her in.
No, I mean, if you're going to. No. See, yeah, we wanted to bring her in.
We wanted to get her out of jail.
Yeah, that's right. We figured there might be some pro quid quid. Quid pro.
Quid pro.
Well. Quid pro this.
So
some
she's
probe
up there.
Quid. Quid probe. What? I'm sorry. It's pro quid pro.
It's not quid probe.
It isn't? Quick probe, quick, yeah. Or something. Yeah. Anyway, we thought maybe she would
so
be...
So look it up on your time off and go figure
yeah,
it out.
Well, we, that's right. But we figured she might be, shall we say, thankful that we
that
got her out.
That's our whole point.
And because we have, because we're, it's certainly a legal item. Anyway, what she was doing was she'd rented a place in one of the buildings that's to be torn down up there in New London. Somebody said she didn't have standing because she wasn't an owner. And what her thinking is, well, if I'm a tenant, I'm sort of an owner, so I don't know. Anyway, it's going back to the courts. They haven't torn it down yet.
Well, they definitely should overrule that one. And we have not forgotten that we promised to list out the dozen or 15 cases that
right.
we expect or hope the Supreme Court would overturn.
Well, what we want to do is I'm personally going to sit down and write amicus briefs on some of this stuff because I think we just need to send, especially Scalia on the medical marijuana thing. I'd say the guy had a brain fart on that one. I don't know what happened. And not that it would have made any difference because that was unfortunately a 6-3 decision. I don't know what he was thinking on that. I mean, I don't know what I don't want any of them were thinking, as a matter of fact. You know, when you realize that a precedent, as we've always said in the past, fallible men make fallible rules or fallible men make fallible laws, and when you realize that this whole thing is based on some off-the-wall, geez, who could believe it, precedent that never should have been in the first place, and they had a perfect opportunity to overturn Wickard from 1941 or 42, whenever it was, personally responsible for the death of my great-grandfather. Thank you so much.
He died within a couple of months.
He died.
Ruling.
Yeah, he died like 2 months after the ruling. I mean, I know he had a stroke, heart attack, something. I mean, he couldn't believe it. I mean, he was, you know, he'd retired from the Supreme Court, and he'd had a nice life for 5 years, and they come out with this ruling, and he probably just grabbed his heart and said, "Ethel, I'm coming now." You know, from Sanford and Sons.
Elizabeth,
I'm on my way. That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
Well, I'm completely on the side that if fallible men or fallible women want to kill themselves, go right ahead. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is like, you know.
You can't stop them.
Well, that's right. And, of course, it's interesting because the Catholic Church, of course, mortal sin is suicide. Right. And what are you going to do about it? I mean, you go to hell.
Well, yeah, nothing here.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, exactly. Sorry, you are now going to hell and burn. And if you're willing to risk that, that's,
knock
you know, so be it. Yeah, no, knock
yourself
out. Yeah, literally, knock yourself out. Take yourself out. That's exactly right. Eat that. They did. By the way, that's right. Eat the bullet is wrong. They did tell you have to put the gun in your chin and not in your mouth.
Yeah, you'll blow the back of your neck.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Well, you know what? A lot of this assisted suicide is, I guess, part and parcel of the problem, if you want to call it that, is what people are really afraid of is the pain. Is the pain that's associated with death as much as anything else. I mean, the pain gets so great. Well, I mean, they start to lose their mind. Some of the people lose their mind, but a lot of people, the pain is so great and the morphine drips are not working anymore and so forth that they just want to end it. And I can certainly understand that. I mean, this is what happens.
It just seems like an individual liberty question.
Well, it's not only that. I think you could alleviate a lot of the problems involved with this if they would let OxyContin become over the counter or something like that,
sure,
where you could get your, you know, you could get your, take away the pain.
Have to do an entire show about the FDA.
Oh my God, you know? These people talk about, you know. Well, we could do entire shows about so many of the out of control and soon to be out of control government agencies. What was it? You were talking a minute ago. We talked about DCA. The other thing that you wanted to chat, talk about laws.
Did we tell everybody what the DCA was in case they?
That's the Department of Children and no DCF, Department of Children and Families, as you know. You can, if you don't like your neighbor or anybody down the street, you can make an anonymous phone call and say this person is molesting or spanking their or hurting their, you know, keeping their child in the cage.
Oh, they will be investigated.
And they can literally be hauled out. I mean, while they're being investigated, the kids go into foster home.
Well, what's scary is that I know that the DCF employees are calling in those reports themselves.
Yeah, well, they got to keep their jobs.
Well,
it's called job security.
I think they really think that they're, quote unquote, doing the right thing, but
you know, again, that's scary when people start to think that that's acting a little bit too much like God. And of course, this brings up another point that we brought up in the pre-show that has to do with sexual predators, and that you had. I mean,
we're going to talk about that soon. They're coming down with new laws, and that I want to tell everybody about the Jimmy Rice law soon.
Not on this show.
I could do that if you want.
What was that?
That was my sexual predator.
It's like the dying person combined with Darth Vader. Here's a situation. People don't know what the situation is in Florida in terms of sexual predators. If you are in Florida and you are considered a sexual offender or sexual predator, you very easily could fall under a law we have here called the Jimmy Rice Law. Jimmy Rice Law is amazing in its scope. And in my opinion, it's completely unconstitutional and really undermines our criminal justice system, or the entire criminal justice system. It's amazing. It's been upheld in a case called Kansas v. Hendricks and a couple other cases, but we'll get into that later in terms of those cases being overturned. But what it says basically is that after you're done serving your time, you can be reincarcerated if a small group, a panel of two or three psychologists deem you to be potentially able to reoffend.
Right.
So this should strike everybody as alarming that this is double jeopardy. This is the idea that they're going to be re-prosecuted, reincarcerated for the same thing that they already did, or actually not that, for a crime in the future that has not yet happened.
It's like that Tom Cruise movie.
Exactly.
It's exactly like the Tom Cruise movie. Minority
government
report,
at work,
and they're telling you that you're gonna do something in the future, and they quote unquote civilly commit you, which means they send you to what is basically a prison facility, and there you remain, and potentially for the rest of your life.
Right.
Okay. This is a lifelong potential thing.
Right.
And we have thousands. We have about 3,000 people in the state of Florida that are subject to this and incarcerated right now under this law. They have been imprisoned without due process, without a jury trial, without being charged with a crime. And this is real. It actually has happened. It actually is happening. And I understand that the feds are considering a bill to make this sort of a nationwide thing.
A federal law. In other words, move it up one level.
Move
no,
it up.
And I mean, when you put it in perspective, like, OJ doesn't fall under this this time. I mean, in other words, he's not going back to some small panel that says they think he's going to murder somebody.
Well, again. And that's the danger.
He gets
$95 from this autograph show. And did you see that in the thing, though? You showed up at some horror flick convention, and he's...
Yeah, I can believe that. It was called The Slasher.
Yeah, well, you know, there you go.
Play the part. Okay, anyway, go ahead. The thing about it is, Curtis, the thing that also... here in Lachlan County, I know they already did it in Dade County. I don't know if it's being appealed or whatever. It has to do with the distance that a sexual predator must be from a school or...
They've got droves of distances.
Well, it turns out that in one particular community down there, they set the distances in such a way that you couldn't live there.
There's no question. That is all over the statute books right now. They have laws that... Things are, it's an aggravator to the crime that you're committing if you're within 1,000 feet of a church or a convenience store. A convenience store, you think about it, what's the one thing about convenience stores?
They're everywhere.
Convenient. They're convenient.
Right.
That's right. They're within 1,000 feet of each other.
I was going to say they're a store, but you're right. They're convenient.
And they're within 1,000 feet of each other.
Right.
And so...
It's like Starbucks,
right.
only a little further apart than Starbucks.
That's right.
You pass a law, say you're not allowed within 100 feet of Starbucks, you can't go anyplace.
Right. That's right.
They probably have a Starbucks on the space station.
and that's the kind of thing that's going on right now.
On the shuttle going up.
Right, right, right.
And so people should watch out that we don't increase these laws too dramatically and throw out hundreds of years of jurisprudence on the idea that that they're catching a few extra sexual predators.
Well, it's, of course, all stems from something that I've called for many, many years the little girl in the mineshaft. And that is when the Jimmy Rice, you know, is the little boy in the mineshaft, and suddenly we ban all mineshafts because somebody got stuck in one and how terrible it is. And
whenever they name a law after a little kid, watch out.
Holloway dropped off the radar screen recently, too.
Who?
Natalie Holloway.
Natalie.
They got away with that. She was the girl in Aruba that disappeared.
Aruba.
Oh, yes.
Haven't seen one word, not even one.
Released everybody. Sorry, no suspects gone.
Whatever, yeah.
No finding.
Hey, nobody, no.
Yeah.
It's tough to prove when there's nobody.
That's right, it is. Nobody, no weapon, no nothing. That's right. To dovetail a little bit on what you said, though, my question, of course, is what do you think the chances are? I mean, they're federalizing everything, for God's sake. What do you think the chances are of something like this happening where they... What does it take to be a sexual predator?
That
I mean, it takes almost nothing.
Yeah.
All you can, if you are accused...
These days, you can slap a cheerleader on her clothed behind and become a sexual predator.
That is...
I've defended kids, 15 years old, sexual predators who fooled around with other 15-year-old kids.
Unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, and it is just...
So if you see the list growing... I'd like to say you can't really be alarmed because you don't know if it's just kids.
That's right, because you don't know if this person is, you know, somebody who's the guy who put the bodies in the refrigerator and ate them or whatever the heck it was, you know.
Yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer.
Or a real
sexual predator, or just somebody else. And you know how this happens. Now, if they're going to have a mandatory minimum of 25 years for any type of sexual molestation, okay, then the little girl or the little boy says, Teacher X or guidance counselor so-and-so or my stepdaddy or whatever it is touched me, okay? Now this guy or woman is facing 25 years to life.
Right.
And then they offer them a deal.
Well,
or 1 year. We'll give you 1 year in prison.
And $5,000 fine or whatever it is.
And then we're going to classify you
as a sexual predator.
Right.
And then for the rest of your life, you have to register everywhere you move and all that kind of stuff. And if they pass this kind of federal statute, you may go to prison for the rest of your life.
Right.
Even though it's a quote-unquote civil commitment. And you never did it. Because what will happen is this. You can't stand trial for 25 years. You can't stand a trial if the result of you losing is you go to prison for 25 years to life.
Right.
So you cop the plea out. You say, I did it. Okay. And you take the 1 year. Okay. Then you go into treatment, okay? When you go into treatment, they say, what happened? And you say, well, you know, I didn't really do it. And they say, well, you know
what? You're in denial.
Exactly.
You're in denial.
If you didn't do it, if you say you didn't do it, you automatically fail treatment.
Right.
Okay, so you're in denial. And guess what? That also bumps up your chances of being classified as a potential reoffender.
God, one flew over the cuckoo's nest.
It just snowballs.
Man, it is the most shadowy, unbelievable, powerful, ridiculous thing you could imagine. I mean, I can't think of anything else that's worse than that.
It's hard to imagine that the U.S. Supreme Court has even taken a glance at this and hasn't absolutely trashed it.
It is unbelievable. And of course, is, well, one thing about a police state you can always count on is you have police.
I don't know how good that is. But speaking of police states, we could probably segue off into Bush now, huh?
Okay. Go. You're talking about his speech?
Yeah, Bush made his speech today.
You know, I did notice something about his speech. He did, I think Bush is getting kind of a bad rap here. I noticed that he did say nuclear again.
Everybody is saying that. Right.
I actually did a little research on this. I went to the Webster's Dictionary because, as Curtis said before, that when a president actually says a word, that it's changed. It's changed. And because, of course, his dad...
It comes into the OED.
Did the harassment.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, this is not a war on terror. This is a war on pronunciation.
Right.
Yeah, it's right.
So I looked it up here, and they even had sound bites on here, so I'm going to play this real quick. But apparently, like... As far as like the dad is concerned, there was no mention of anything about harassment or Harris ever being anything different in the Webster's Dictionary online. It's like it was that way since time began, and they even had a little pronunciation.
Harass, Harris, harassment, harassment.
You see, it's like there was nothing there. Then in the
Caribbean course, and Caribbean,
right? And then here's the
you say potato,
in the actual text of the nuclear part, it says usage, though disapproved by many, pronunciations Indian killer have been found in widespread use among educated speakers, including scientists, lawyers, professors, congressmen, U.S. cabinet members, and at least one U.S. president and one vice president.
One.
Guess
and
who?
And Homer Simpson.
Guess who, yeah.
Right. And, you know, and I'm just like
it's
going...
It's nuclear, Lisa.
Nuclear.
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 Oh, my God.
They had to put it on there.
I can't believe
you know,
it.
So he's just not getting his props. You know, I mean, because they even mentioned that, you know, it hasn't been changed. They've got this big rebuttal in here. So, that's why, you know,
I think
bad
that's
rap.
BS. Well, you can say that. I'm going to digress for 1 second. Shut up. The other one that I wonder if this is ever going to come in. I was listening to C-SPAN, and this guy writes about the Civil War, and he was talking about the Calvary. I hope you understand. This guy writes about the Civil War, and he was talking about the Calvary. Now, I don't know about you folks, but it's cavalry, and Calvary is the hill on which Jesus Christ was crucified. You cannot, you know, it is, to me, it is this sinful. I read a book once. I'm going to digress one more time. I'm sorry. You cut this out if
Double
you want.
Double digression.
I'm sorry. We'll come right back.
No, go ahead.
The other one I had, which you'll appreciate, I read a book by a judge, and he said, flaunt the law.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm serious. He wrote it in there. Now, I'm hoping, I am praying.
It was a typo.
There was this proofreader, because because it is the one place that you use the word flout is in front of the law.
Right.
And it was in the book. I was going to write, I read it over at my sister-in-law's house, and I was going to write Xerox the page and say, what the is this all about? So we go back.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bush's
digression done.
Right. So I noticed that he used the words terror and terrorist about a billion times.
Roughly. We don't exaggerate. Yeah. I don't exaggerate a billion times.
And did you notice that he said, he made our point that this is obviously a war on children. And he said, every time we have a child's funeral and every time sick old people get killed in this war, get murdered. He continues to use the word murder.
Right.
It's more powerful.
Well, the whole point is that he vilifies the enemy as if they're amoral because of their terroristic tactics.
Yeah, and?
Well, if you have no power and you're going to fight a war, terror is one of your, that's one of your tools. That's what you use.
Right, and?
So I just thought it was...
It's not fair.
It's right.
It's not fair.
He's not being fair.
No, but I mean, the terrorists aren't being fair.
Well, yeah, well, exactly. And,
I mean, you want to fight a war, you fight fair. Come on.
Come on out of the woods, Dave. Yeah,
exactly.
Fight us head on.
That's right.
Yeah, well, it's amazing to me. He either misunderstands the very nature of their conflict.
Well, my favorite one was he goes, you know, when 9/11 happened, we weren't even in Iraq. You know, and it was, you know, I was like, oh, whoa, I mean, you know, yeah, I know. And now we're in Iraq and it had no correlation and whatever. And
He's dropping the ball.
Well,
of course, we were in Iraq from the standpoint of the sanctions. I mean, we had cut off, you know,
no fly zones.
No fly zone. I mean, literally, when you think about 2/3 of the country was under our control from the ground up, not under the ground and not on it necessarily.
Well, basically, I mean, I watched his speech. I mean, I like the fact that how he, you know, he ties in the terrorists made a bunch of references to people like Hitler and things like that. He's basically trying, you know, he's defending at all costs, of course, the fact that, you know, if we pull out of Iraq, that, you know, Osama bin Laden is immediately going to run in there and take over. And then they're going to have all this oil. And you know, is America going to be safer? You know, that's his last stand is.
I think what I heard was not so much that, because actually that doesn't worry me, believe it or not. The Hugo Chavez. By the way, we made a little mistake in our last narrow cast, whatever it is, said that Canada was the largest supplier. It turns out it's Venezuela. Hugo Chavez, the communist down there, whatever.
What, the third largest importer?
No, we get a plurality of our oil, not the most, but we get a plurality of our oil from Venezuela. They are the largest country outside of ourselves. Actually, we supply like a third of our own oil. But of the people,
I thought it was like 25%.
Well, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, we supply. Let me put it this way: of the countries that we get oil from, number one is the United States, number two is Venezuela, and number three is Canada. Of the countries that we get our oil from,
okay.
Because you realize one of the things when you say Middle East, there's like 9-10 countries over there that we get oil from, whether you realize it or not. So anyway, that's neither
you
here.
Mean single countries that we get oil from.
Yes.
Okay, but I mean the Middle East has got is probably provides the majority of our oil.
Could very well. I think it supplies like 50% or something.
Right.
But it may very well. But that's like 9 countries.
Yeah. Okay.
So my point is that as individual countries are concerned, Venezuela is number 2 behind us.
Right.
I had said Canada last time. So much for that. Anyway, that doesn't bother me so much, believe it or not. If the terrorists, or the Osamas or whatever it is, take over all of the Middle East, they still got to sell it to somebody.
And, well, that was their big issue, though, with going in. One of the major complaints against us going in was that, is this going to be another Afghanistan? Are we going to cruise in there, wipe out everybody, and then leave? And then
we haven't left Afghanistan.
No, it's
been all over the news. These soldiers are coming home, and they're saying
from the 70s war.
The 70s, of course. What happened was in the 70s. You mean the 80s? This was the 80s.
The Soviets rolled in there,
that was in the 80s. That was under Carter. And of course, that was when they had the hostages and everything. But that was when we were. That was also during the Iran-Iraq business when we were. That was during a lot of it was during Reagan when we were supplying arms to. You know, it was arms for hostages, and we were supplying the Osamas of the world on our. He was on our side then, fighting the. You know, we were supplying them with.
Right, funded him up.
Oh yeah, we funded him up, and we also funded up, as you well know, Saddam against Iran. So, but be it as may, we've been all over the map on that stuff. That is not what I'm. That is not my point. To a large extent, what I'm more thinking about it has to do with what happened was in 91 we stopped short of going to Baghdad, and in fact we gave them free license to to kill Saddam, free license to kill all of his enemies in Iraq for 10 years until we went in there again. And that's what they're afraid of is basically if we get out of there, that something along those lines, even though it might not be Saddam, but it'll be the Shiites or the Sunnis or whoever it is, will come in there and, you know, they'll have the civil war.
Did you notice what happened with the constitutional change?
No.
Last weekend?
Now, I don't, because that was all over the map.
It's sort of been hush-hush. It hasn't been reported widely.
That's probably why I didn't notice.
Yeah, and they've done an about-face already.
Who has?
Well, what happened was this. The parliament that's in charge in Iraq with creating the constitution.
Okay, that is similar to our Articles of Confederation, what do they call the people that met in Philadelphia in the United States?
Constitutional Convention type thing.
The Constitutional Convention, right? Okay, go ahead.
And those people, they changed one of the rules. They changed a very important rule on Friday, or right around Friday, which was the necessary votes for ratification
of the Constitution. That's right, yeah.
And what they did is they changed it from requiring two-thirds of the show-up voters,
right,
two-thirds of the people who actually voted, to requiring it to need two-thirds of the registered voters.
Right.
Okay, now only 60% of the registered voters showed up at the last election, which means it was a dead certain loser.
Right.
Okay, now, when I say loser, what I mean is, what they said is, you need two-thirds of these votes to reject the new Constitution. Okay, which means that that vote was destined to fail, which means the Constitution was destined to pass. It was destined to pass. They were going to get this Constitution in no matter what, because they changed the necessary requirements to vote from two-thirds of the show-ups to two-thirds of the registered.
Right.
So, now, of course, the Sunnis went nuts.
Yeah.
Okay. And even they could recognize this was a bamboozle from the beginning. And
they're sitting here counting their on their fingers and toes. They wait a minute. 60%, two-thirds. Okay, that's not.
Man.
The Arab Street.
Yeah, there's no question. And so this parliament, this body, did an about-face and has taken it back.
Oh, they have?
Yes, they have.
Okay, well, it's interesting. One of the things I find interesting, of course, is that everybody is screaming about the 60% voting turnout. And, of course, here locally, it's a miracle when we have 22 or 25% turnout. I mean,
making all of our important decisions on an extremely small minority.
Yeah, well, again, when you think about it, 25% of the people turn out. 12.5% plus one make the decision for 87% of us.
That doesn't bother me so much. I mean, this
bothers me a lot.
I think this should be a democracy that sort of runs on its own. If it's free market, runs it in the business.
I agree with you. Well, that's right.
You don't really need to get too involved in there. And it seems to me, if you go
well,
about
except
your
for
business,
the fact that power tends to gravitate towards the people with the guns, and government has the guns
and the money.
Well, they get the money because they got the guns.
Well, of course, you're not supposed to have the guns. We're supposed to have the guns.
Right. But but unfortunately, they do have a little more firepower than we do. And it's a big deal for us to get a hold of a fully automatic AK.
Well, we are watching out for that, which is why we do this show, of course.
That's right. That's right.
So what's the outcome on the...
All right. Well, so the outcome on the constitutional issue is that basically they went back. But the idea is that Here's this constitution that the Bush administration has put out there to be, this is going to save them, this is going to unite Iraq, the three tribes, Sunnis, Shiites, and Kurds will all happily live ever after, and the divisiveness over there is so great that they're already trying what are obviously undemocratic tricks to get this stuff pushed through.
Yeah.
And so
that'll leave some people happy.
Well,
this is our better system of government that we have thrust upon them here.
Yeah, and of course we don't come to that particular better system thing with clean hands either. When you realize that it took how many years for us to come up with our constitution, how many years to actually ratify it?
Well, and
how many years to destroy it?
And if you really want
to
talk
about, not only that, we had a civil war,
right?
60, 70 years out, 67, whatever it was, in order to finally, quote, ratified the Constitution, if you want to call it that. I mean, it took us 70 years to get to the point. And they still, I remember when I first came down south, there were still colored-only here signs everywhere. And this was my lifetime.
Yeah, we definitely made some mistakes when we did ours. Of course, our Constitutional Convention was illegal under the Articles of Confederation.
Oh, no question. Well, we could go back.
Right.
When you talk about natural law, a lot of the original foundations from John Locke and so forth was iffy, shall we say, at best. But again, you have to deal with the empiricism of it all. And when all is said and done, a lot of mistakes. But as far as materials things are concerned, we've been pretty successful.
So what do you think predictions on the Constitution for Iraq?
That's like predicting what's her name's going to say on the Supreme Court.
This thing's going to blow. I don't think we're going to get out of there without a major civil war.
I think they have a deadline on the 15th or something.
Well, they have a deadline. They can vote this way or that way and whatever it is. The larger question is how it affects us here in the United States. And one of the things that we've already seen has to do with the Patriot Act, the reaffirmation of the Patriot Act, which people have no qualms at all about passing new laws that restrict our freedoms in this country. And as a libertarian, of course, I look at that with horror because, you know, whatever they do over there, that's bad and it may affect us. And, you know, so often somebody said, well, they were doing this genocidal thing in Iraq and we went in there and yet they killed, you know, a million people in Africa and didn't bother to go over there. Well, they didn't have any oil. And now, of course, one has to ask oneself is what are we actually paying for this oil, even though we're price of gasoline's gone to $3 a gallon. But, you know, our taxes are paying. I mean, how much of our if you weigh
in the cost of the war,
per gallon, you wonder how much does that actually add?
I'd be giving it away for free.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, my point on a lot of this is that even if Saddam had been, let's say, successful in the first time he came in and took over Kuwait to grab their oil, and we'd said, well, okay, fine, go for it, he still would have had to sell it to somebody, and we would have been, I mean, the price would have, as horrible as
it's not going to dramatically change.
No,
he's not going to affect the world market on it.
So either we go in and we grab it, or we under some guise or another, or else we let the market figure it out. And I'm one of those people that believes in the market. You know, kind of dovetails into something that was years and years ago. Somebody did a study, I think we mentioned this on one of the previous shows, that slavery versus paying people, turns out that if you pay somebody to do the work, you actually make more money than if you have slaves. Because right, they will.
Then you got to house them and feed them. And
well, not only that, they'll only do the minimum amount to get by, not to die. I mean, they'll do the absolute minimum. Whereas you pay somebody and
there's
say, look,
incentives,
right? I mean, there's all the difference in the world. And again, you only have to look at the increase in material wealth in the United States. You know, everybody's complaining about we use 25% of the world's energy, but what we supply. And you look at this as we look at our studio here, which we paid almost nothing for. It's made out of sand.
We need to get Jimmy to cough up a few more things.
Jimmy's been on, but which reminds me, I'm going to digress here for just a second. Shut up. I've been on eBay trying to get some stuff here that not replace, but to add to what we have here to make the recording a little more easier for our engineer, because I don't do dork on this thing.
All right, well, let's do a couple of light notes here.
And I'm going to do that, okay. But I want to finish my thought, if you don't mind. I've noticed that the prices on our equipment that we have here has started to rocket up through the ceiling, and I'm thinking that everybody else has decided to get into podcasting, and that must be the reason for the...
As long as they're libertarian podcasts, I have no problem with that.
And that's true. Of course, we'll have to talk about that.
Grassroots, bring it on.
That's right. Well, and speaking of grassroots, please go to fairtax.org, because that has to be something that we think about.
We don't actually vote on that. I mean, as citizens, we have to write into our Congress to vote.
Yes, we have to write. Yes, you have to alert them to the fact that we actually care. We're going to talk about that in the next show. I'm going to talk more about that because I've got some notes here that I failed to go over for this show. Lighter stuff.
Okay, Curtis. We got a few light notes. It seems that that Bono and Geldof are being considered for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, now wait a minute.
I think Bono's dead. Oh no, this is that's Bono.
Bono. That's right.
Bono. That's right. No, now they gave the Nobel Peace Prize 1 year to Yasser Arafat.
To Arafat, right.
So I suppose in the same vein.
Well, it's just like the Chief Justice or the Justices or whatever. It could go anywhere.
That's right. No,
I say we give it to Bono and Geldof.
Well, and then it's $1.3 million, right?
Yeah, but they have that kind of money.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, I wonder if they're going to donate it to buy, like their whole thing is buying food for Africa or something, right?
Yeah, no doubt they'll do. Speaking of money, by the way, did you see the University of Florida remotely controlled vehicle is in the race for the $2 million?
Oh, it is.
Yeah, we're going to finish your thing.
I'm an official sponsor of Ghost Rider.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Yeah, finish up, Curtis.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Are you done with your thing?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to mention that.
Mention the peace prize. Okay, let me
and the Arafat tie-in.
And the Arafat tie-in. That's right. I mean, if Arafat can get a peace prize. So let me get this.
How can we get a peace prize?
Well, it's pretty obvious. You put a checkered thing around your head, and you go out and you kill a bunch of people, and the next thing you know, this. How easily can you get $1.3 million? That's it. Boom, done.
First, you create a bunch of terror, and then you solve it.
That's
right,
it.
Right.
And you say, look, tell you, it's certainly not extortion. I will stop the terror thing if you give me the peace prize.
That's pretty good.
Boom, done. I mean, terrorists started and stopped in one day. No, but did you see that, and this as a technophobe person yourself, there were 165 entrants. This, now, for those gentle listener, there is a Pentagon-sponsored...
DARPA-sponsored
thing where we have to go over, what, it's a couple hundred miles?
It's 250 miles in 10 hours.
250 miles
over an unspecified terrain.
Unspecified terrain. They'll give you the track, you know, 4 hours before you start.
Qualifying is today, which by the time you get this, it'll have been yesterday. But so we'll see if the people actually made it.
They had the initial qualifying.
They had initial qualifying, then today is the actual qualifying to qualify for the thing.
Okay, now they're going to... What this is...
And it's the 8th is the actual race.
The 8th of...
The Sunday. I mean, Saturday, sorry. October 8th.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, the deal is, and for those of you who don't know what we're talking about here, the Pentagon wants to have a robot...
Terminator building competition.
Terminator build, right. It is totally autonomous.
It's ground vehicles.
Ground vehicle, totally autonomous, and it goes and does whatever you want it to on its own.
It has to...
It's theoretical.
Yeah. Well, last year they had abysmal failures.
Well, it was like 20 feet and stopped.
No, right. Seven miles was the winner last year.
Was the winner. But there are... What it is you basically have to start at a place and drive 250 miles over this desert, and it's a fully autonomous vehicle. This isn't radio controlled. You're not sitting there with a controller, you know, navigating it around or following it or anything like that. It's fully autonomous, and they have vision systems and their GPS, guided and whatever, and they've got to reach this goal, and they got 10 hours to do it. They're not actually given the area until...
No, just before.
Like today, or maybe tomorrow, they get the area.
Or
the time. I think that it can actually go right into night, too. And so, in other words, you've got to have, you know, lots of sensors and things like that. And, in fact, that was the one thing I was on this thing. I just saw a little snippet on this in the news, and I went to their website. It's ghostriderrobot.com, and they have a motorcycle they're putting in. And it's really cool, and these guys are a trip. You've got to go to ghostriderrobot.com and look at it. And
does it have training wheels on it or what?
No. It totally rides by itself, standing up, and it goes over jumps, and they had it like going 37 miles an hour on this.
It made the pre-qual?
In fact, they're qualifying today, and they're sponsored by some pretty good people. I mean, including yourself,
including
myself. They have a little thing. This is one thing I wanted to do on the Jimmy Dones Show: is a little donate button.
That's right.
It says latest sponsor, and
you go in there and give a nickel every hour, and you're the latest
right,
sponsor.
Right? Yeah, you know, you can give them $5 or $20 or whatever you want. And there's some guys in there give them $1,000. But the cool part is they got a bunch of really neat videos on there. They even had one where their motorcycle went right into this huge lake. And then they're like pulling it out with the car, and then like later that day they were running it, and this thing's pretty durable. But it was just fascinating to see this motorcycle with nothing but a pair of eyes on it, just, you know, I mean, robotic eyes just cruising around. I mean, and the really neat one was the night one, because it's pitch black night and they're following the truck and you can't even see the road in front. And this thing's just, it's staying right on the road.
The question is, I mean, what happens? It's like a turtle. I mean, what happens when it falls over?
It doesn't. That's the point. It doesn't fall over. I mean,
kind of a gyro thing.
Kind of a Segway thing. No, they've got all kinds of really cool videos that you can. They literally had these guys put a bottle of orange juice on top of it, and they were picking it up and shaking the frame, and the gyros kept the thing absolutely perfect. They even dropped it, and it was that fast. It actually keeps it perfectly level.
You know, you can buy. You know, it's like a Segway. In other words. The Segway.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have gyros in it, though. It basically keeps it, well, not that I'm aware of.
It's got to have gyros.
Oh, no, because a motorcycle doesn't.
No, I know, but still.
No. It's all it is. It's just, well, trust me. They got brains on there and sensors, but.
Well, they must, but of course, the wheels themselves are somewhat gyroscopic, as you well know.
That's what I'm saying. In other words, if you get a motorcycle going, it's going to stay upright as long as you steer it correctly.
Right, that's right.
And what they've done is they've modeled for speed, direction, different body attitudes, and all this stuff. They've modeled the whole thing, and they've basically just steering it as if somebody was riding it.
I wonder if PBS or National Geographic or somebody's filming this whole thing to find out if anybody's going to... I mean, because that would make a great show on Frontline.
Well, they're definitely going to have some snippets on the news, but and I'm sure that the teams are going to have, you know, videos on their website of some of the event. But, I mean, there's... I didn't catch.
Well,
I think there were
24. I think are the prequels, and I don't know what how many they're going
to
have.
We'll find out tonight. I'm definitely going to look to see if.
Well, we'll post that on JD Jimmy Dome.
If my sponsor made it,
yeah.
I mean, if my team made it,
yeah, that'd be great.
Here's another light note. Did you notice they passed a law here in Florida? They amended the self-defense rule.
Yes.
And
you're allowed to use deadly. So it used to be deadly force. It's a deadly force law.
Well, it's all.
You're allowed to shoot people if you think they're going to hurt you.
Well, it's not exactly. That's what they're trying to make it out to be. There's a group that's against it. The actual definition is that you, if you. You don't have the duty to retreat anymore
right.
if someone is using force against you. In other words, it's deemed to be dangerous
now,
to retreat.
This is called the tourist elimination law?
Well, that's what. There's a group down there that really doesn't change anything. You still have to prove the other person is the aggressor. So,
but they're giving out flyers in the Miami airport like a band on Sunset Boulevard to these
exactly.
tourists that are getting off the plane.
Well,
and of course
the other thing is, you know, you have to prove it. But I mean, if they're dead,
well, I mean, they're still.
He was coming at me and I shot him.
Well, and that's
going to change.
47.
But that's the way it always was. Listen, there was the rule before was you didn't have to retreat if you couldn't retreat safely.
Right.
Okay. Well, this is just the same thing. It just makes it easier for you to show that you couldn't retreat safely. In other words, it's sort of.
Previously, you had to be backed up against a wall practically, didn't you?
Yeah.
But I mean, now if you have a way to run away. And if you have a way to. Run away, you can still shoot the guy?
You can still meet them with the same amount of force.
You can claim that this...
This is a clip we have from Miami Airport.
Yeah. The deal is, I mean, this obviously what they've tried to do is to loosen it up slightly. What it was previously. I mean,
right.
any prosecutor, any, you know, determined prosecutor worth his salt in the old days would have said if you weren't literally backed up against a wall, you know, you are the 90-pound girl and all you've got is a little gun and here's the, you know, a team of bullies that are, you know, surrounded you. Then you could get away with it. Other than that, you go to jail. Now, apparently, you don't have to actually be backed up against the wall.
Yeah, it just changes a little bit in terms of the presentation to the jury. Before, you had to ask the jury whether or not the person had the ability to get away safely. And now you just simply assume that if there's force coming on, that the person cannot get away safely. They have the right to meet their attacker with the same amount of force that's being brought against them.
It's going to change the whole outlook on drive-by killings anymore, drive-by shootings.
No, it's not going to change anything.
No?
People are going to act exactly the same way. The only thing that's going to change is that some of the people who actually did use self-defense are going to get off easier than they would have otherwise.
Uh-huh.
But it's still very difficult a defense to make. And I thought it was interesting, though, that they're passing out these flyers in the airport. I would think the airport would shut them down, man. Of course, I guess they can't.
No.
But if they can, of course, I'd like to stand next to him with a flyer that says that guy standing there with that flyer is an idiot.
And I'll stand next to you and I'll say, listen to the Jimmy Doan show.
Well, you could get I'm with
that guy passing out the flyers.
Well, you do is you get the I'm with stupid T-shirt with the
right,
arrow,
right?
And the arrow on it, you know, and you just stand there.
You just kind of walk up next
stupid.
To him.
Right, yeah, that's right. You need to get I'm with stupid, and the arrow is right there, and you just stand there next to the guy smiling, and you know. No problem. Yeah, that's it. No, that's perfect. We'll have to sell those. Jimmy Doan. And on the back, it says, listen to Jimmy Doan.
Listen to Jimmy Doan show.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I got.
Okay. The only other thing I had here that was brought up was the woman who sues the doctor over the sex treatment.
Oh.
And this was I think he's a chiropractor or something. And part of the sex treatment was he humped her. What did Austin Powers call it? Shag.
Shagged her.
Yeah, right. In other words, part of the treatment for back injury was...
Shagging.
That's it. Take off all your clothes, and I've got the, you know, we'll straighten you out.
So now he's in Harrisburg case.
I bet he was licensed.
He was licensed. That's right. And that's why, of course, licensing is so valuable because
it prevents that sort of thing from happening.
That's right. Yeah. But I think actually he possibly may have lost his license.
Yeah.
Not that's going to stop him from, you know, practicing.
Well, I mean, and that's true. I mean, it seems like he should lose his license for being a sexual harasser, but...
Well, actually, what he was convicted of was, interestingly enough, was submitting false health care claims, because what he was putting the bills, he was submitting the bills to Medicare or whatever it was, and they said, well, but
that, for this, a hotel room,
yeah, exactly. Champagne? I guess, yeah,
this
I don't
sounds
know, you know,
like a hooker.
Where was this?
I don't know. It was in Seattle, Washington. But again, it might be.
This sounds like a Heidi Fleiss billing.
Yeah, that's right.
Situation.
That's right.
Heidi. And you got Heidi Fleiss billing for health stuff. And you guys didn't want to talk about the 3,000 worker layoffs?
Oh, my God, yes. I did want to mention that.
Okay, quick New Orleans update.
Quick New Orleans update, yes.
Maybe we can edit this in the middle of the show.
We should have. No, we mentioned it, I think, at the beginning, and didn't want to say this. What kind of time are we looking at here so far?
We're at hour and 12.
Okay, we don't want to spend a lot of time on this, because the fat burner's about time to quit, you know.
They're really dying on the
stairmaster. They're dying
right
sweat,
now.
sweat pouring off the bra. Kinky, eh? Okay.
All right. Well, actually, we can condense this pretty well.
Yeah,
we can follow it up when we try to get the list.
That's right. That's right. And actually, if anybody out there has a list, we want to know about this.
We want to know about this. Go ahead and lay it out.
Here it is.
It's going to be teachers and stuff. Go ahead.
No, it's not. It's going to be some teachers because the schools are closed. But
okay,
New Orleans, there are 6,000. Apparently, there are 6,000 municipal workers. Mayor Nagin, or whatever his name is, has laid off 3,000 of them. Of course, they get unemployment compensation, all that kind of stuff. But the point is, what they did is they laid off 3,000 non-essential workers. I mean, this is half the workforce.
Is non-essential.
And of course, my question is, we've always been hearing about how government is essential to our well-being. And obviously, if government is essential, we only have essential workers.
Right.
So now, all of a sudden, he has said 3,000 of the workers in New Orleans are non-essential.
Half, exactly.
50% non-essential. Now, of course, what we tried to, Jimmy tried to get a list of who was considered.
I looked for it, too.
Surprisingly, I know this comes as a shock to our listener.
They didn't make a billboard out of it and put it up on
there? No, they didn't make a billboard. No. They don't know what happened here, but.
I'm guessing it's bus drivers.
Well, certainly there are people that are bus.
They said actually most of them would be administrative,
which tells
me something.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's staff. In other words, that's staff.
That's
clerks,
right?
Certainly, that's right. But
I guess
it is
DMV. Well, I mean, yeah, you'd think that some of it would be, but I want to see a list.
Yeah, because you know that none of the policemen are going to be laid off, and none of the firemen.
None of the firemen.
And certainly the mayor's not going to be laid off.
And not the garbage collector.
Not the garbage collector. Boy, I tell you. You know, I mean, seriously.
They're going to be hired.
There's not an unemployed garbage man in the state of Louisiana.
No, that is for sure. And I'll tell you, if those 3,000 people want a new job, with the city, it's called a lateral reassignment.
Yeah.
I was an office clerk. Now I work for the government.
Now I'm collecting. No, that's right. You can bet on that. We certainly. But it was interesting because that happened. This question came up. I remember years ago when the Republican, then Republican, new brand new Republican Congress submitted a bill to Bill Clinton, and he says the Republican Congress is shutting down the government, and they laid off non-essential workers for about 2 or 3 weeks before.
Park Service employees.
Park Service, that's right. And of course they had front page above the fold about families that had driven from Seattle or Omaha and couldn't get into the Washington Monument and crying, and it was so bad because it's just horrible. This Newt Gingrich just ruined our trip,
That was the dumbest political
move. Oh, my God. Well, it was that, too. But, I mean, front page news because, Harriet and Bill and their 9 kids couldn't get into the Washington. Give me a break,
That's the worst thing they got going on.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the worst you got going for you.
And then it was the Washington Monument or something, right? They were complaining because they couldn't see the Washington Monument. I'm going, you can see it from the White House.
You can see it from Maryland. I mean, you don't have to go to Washington to see the monument.
They were about actually going inside.
No, they were. That's right. And that's right. Of course,
they didn't have a whole bunch of rules about have to be 47 guards, staff in 14 positions and lines and fees and all everything.
When I was a kid. When I was a kid, I did this. I grew up in Washington, D.C., and when I was a kid, you could walk right in the door, and it's 555 feet tall, and there, you could walk up it. You know, I mean, I don't know if you know that, but you can walk, you can walk up it, and it's about 1,000 steps or something like that. And we used to do that as a kid. I mean, that was, you know, you could just walk, no admission, no nothing. You just walk in and walk up and walk back down. Strip search when you get on the grounds. I mean, you know, just
You get sexual predator for that now.
That's true, too, yeah. Because of what it looks like. If you show up on the Washington Monument and they say, ooh, we know what you're thinking.
That's true.
Giant phallic symbol from...
So, yeah, I mean, that's the question.
I guess that has a whole new meaning when you saw the father of the country, the Washington Monument, father of the country, and the symbol for the father country is a phallic symbol. You know what I mean? This does this tell you something?
Well, we're sticking it to everybody.
That's it. Got a point on the end, too.
Pokey stick.
Yeah, that's right. I always thought that if they wanted to have a new fountain in Washington, they should put it right at the top. it'd be perfect.
Oh my God!
No, it'd be great. And of course, the big joke would be, you know, every once in a while, you know how that down here we're coming up for homecoming here at the University of Florida. And one of the big fun things they do is to throw soap in the fountain, you know, so it all bubbles over. And, of course, if you had a fountain at the Washington Monument.
Oh, my God.
No, that's what you would do. You'd get some, you know, some Tide or something like that. And it would be all white when it comes. No, that's what would happen.
That's good stuff.
That
there.
Sounds like a closer.
That's a closer.
Wait. No, I've got one more fun joke here. Is that it was going around the internet. It said, did you Donald Rumsfeld is giving the president a briefing, and
this is great.
And he goes, yesterday, 3 Brazilian soldiers were killed, and Bush goes, you know, oh my God, that's terrible. And turns to an aide and goes, how many is a Brazilian?
That's good. Let's sign out. Thank you for listening. Jimmy Doan, once again. Good show. I love it. And, today's Thursday, the 6th, and hopefully we will have Jack Rhodes.
Yeah, on Sunday.
On Sunday. So look for the, if we can mix it fast enough, Monday or Tuesday of next week, should have a new show this week. And, of course, thanks, we have a homecoming here at the University, and we're going to get whumped up on by, we dropped down to number 15. So, JimmyDoan.com. Don't forget to send us email if you have any questions or anything like that. We read them all. So far, there have been zero.
We read them all.
We read every one of them.
Everyone.
We read every one of the emails this week.
And if you got a topic you want to hear us discuss, too bad.
Yeah.
No. Just email us.
Email us, and we'll take it into consideration.
Get it in there. And thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
That's the big deal.
So we'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Real live, try don't do something to you now.